Hello everyone, and welcome to the new episode of the HSG Student Podcast. My name is Sira, and together we are looking for exciting stories and personalities from the HSG.
It's almost become a tradition. Maybe you remember last year's episode where I was live at Start Summit and I tried to capture a little bit of the atmosphere and some impressions of interesting founders with inspiring visions, just to show you a little bit what it's like to participate in the yearly Start Summit, which is organized mainly by HSG students. This year, I'm here again, and I'm very happy to show you once again, or to give you once again some impressions of the 2026 version of the Start Summit. This time, it's a little bit more focused on startups. I mean, they are, in a way, the heart of the Start Summit. And this time, I really want to capture the different founders and the perspectives of them on the startup landscape, maybe what their biggest challenges are, what they see as the biggest challenges and trends, and a part of that. Also to understand what it's like to organize such a summit and to actively take part. That's why I will also talk to some people who are right now actively working for a start and some alumni as well. Nevertheless, my aim, of course, is to just give you some insights and hopefully it sparks your interest to either found a startup yourself or maybe attend as an investor and a founder or an attendee.
We once believed fire was the greatest discovery. The moment humanity first pushed back the dark. But new horizons were already waiting. Every spark was a promise. Every word carried us forward toward horizons we couldn't yet imagine.
What's next?
Honestly, if we knew the exact answer, we wouldn't be standing here. We'd probably be out there funding the next big thing ourselves. But while we can't predict the specific winner, we can show you the racetrack.
Exactly. We are standing here in St. Gallen, right in the center of the Alpine axis. This isn't just a scenic mountain range. It's Europe's most powerful engine for deep tech research. We are tired of the European paradox, winning Nobel Prizes, but losing the Nasdaq listings.
The 2026 reality is the best talent no longer follows the biggest paycheck. They follow the biggest impact.
We need a rebellious mindset to actually own the future. We're building the immune system of the European economy.
But technology alone is just code and silicon. It needs a soul. It needs people old enough to challenge the status quo. But that mindset isn't new here. It's been in the DNA of Start for exactly 30 years now. As we speak, we are entering the largest intergenerational transfer of power and assets in history.
Europe needs bold minds. Europe needs the courage to believe. This is the place where it could all flourish. Welcome to Start Summit 2026.
What is next? Well, that is the question, isn't it? You just heard some snippets from the legendary opening ceremony, and they capture pretty well what Start stands for. Ideas meet ambition, and the next generation of founders starts asking new questions. What comes after AI and deep tech this year? The conversation is about what comes next and how startups can position themselves for the next wave of transformation. From defense tech to robotics to sustainability, you can feel that something bigger is emerging. At the same time, there is a uniquely European story unfolding here. Along the Alpine axis from EPFL to ETH, HSG and TUM, world-class research is turning into real companies.
The big challenge is translating that deep knowledge into scalable business success. And then there is the reality of building. How do you actually found a company in Europe? Where does early stage capital come from? But beyond all the panels and keynotes, there is a deeper spirit to this summit. Because building a startup is a bit like climbing a mountain. You have highs and lows. Moments of clarity and moments where everything is uncertain. What really matters is having the right guide. Someone who knows the terrain, helps you navigate uncertainty, and keeps you going when conditions get tough. That is the role the University of St. Gallen wants to play, and hopefully will do even more in the future. A founding university for summit climbers. Therefore, we will talk to these founders, staff members and alumni, and uncover the stories behind the climb. The struggles, the breakthroughs, and the moments where ideas turn into something real. And maybe along the way, we will find out what the next big peak actually looks like.
But first of all, I'm very excited to talk of someone who is part of this year's organizational committee of the Start Summit. Maya Zangtani, head of PR, was ready to spare some of her very valuable time to talk for this podcast. And I'm very excited to get her insights.
My name is Maya Zangtani, and I'm in the PR team in Start Global. I'm the head of PR, so I oversee all of our media relations and everything related to what has to do with our image to the public. I think the PR team has a very holistic perspective of organizations. You kind of need to know what's going on everywhere to be able to communicate that as well to the others. PR is very creative. You build a story, you find the story, and sometimes even when you don't have a story, you need to figure it out in some ways.
I absolutely agree. I mean, media in general is interesting, I have to say. And now, I mean, you're part of the organizational team. What are your impressions so far of the Start Summit?
Yeah, so I think as a teamie, you get a completely different perspective of the event, you know, everything that's going on behind the scenes. The event so far has been quite successful. I am very happy with what we have done so far, and seeing external people see this event makes us all very happy, and it's overall a success, I would say.
If you had to describe Start in one word only, which one would you choose?
I would say Start is bold. We try to do new things every year. We try to have new stages, talk about the newest topics, the hottest, latest topics, and we try not to stick too much to tradition and try out new things every year. For me, being at Start is about building something together with other people. Although the entrepreneurship side is very interesting and I might go into that in the future in my life, it's more about working on a big project and seeing this come to life in a group.
And how many people are you in this organizational committee? How many people are involved in organizing the Start Summit?
So as you may know, we have the different projects. So we have Summit, Hack and Fellowship and our network. And in total, we're 100 people divided into these projects. And PR is not really in a project. We try to do PR for all projects, but in the end, we mainly focus on Summit.
That's a very big group. And I imagine it's also kind of a challenge to coordinate. What has been your biggest personal challenge so far?
I think my biggest personal challenge is that I'm confronted with so many little problems all the time. And I really like this because it makes me figure out things better. I learn how to solve little problems, how to approach issues, how to be efficient, and also how to communicate, because communication is such an important thing in a big organization and it can make or break an event like this. So this has been a challenge, but one that I was willing to take on.
And also a great learning. From challenges to highlights, what is going to be your personal highlight, or maybe it already took place?
Well, today morning our press reception took place, which I think went quite well. I'm very happy with the outcome and I hope we told the story of Start in a good way. Other than that, I think the podcast room where we're recording right now is quite a good highlight for this year. People need a place where they can have deep, long conversations, and I think we created a nice space to do so. And yeah, of course, some of the speakers. I'm very excited to see Milda Mitkute from Vinted, Dr. Robert Fink from Helsing. So those are my highlights.
Wonderful. What's the craziest thing that ever happened to you in connection with Start?
The craziest thing, I mean, crazy things happen every day. But for me, I think it was with my PR team. We do team activities and we thought to be a bit different, we would go ice bathing. So we went for a team activity with Start. to do an ice bath. And I think this was pretty crazy, but also fun.
Oh, wow. That sounds very interesting. It's a very big conference. You're a lot of people that are involved. How much of the actual START summit we're in right now goes to plan, and how much has to be or will have to be improvised?
Well, you're talking about a really good point, because I mean, such a big conference, so much can go wrong. We really try to minimize the mess up potential. But of course, due to external factors, there will always be things which are messed up, like speakers canceling last minute, flights getting canceled because of strikes, or something not getting delivered. And we try to handle this the best we can by using the problem solving skills I was talking about before and figuring out a way to still make it work. And I would say this year, we only improvised about 10 to 15% maybe of the whole event. So I would say it's a pretty low number.
And I mean, you have to be somewhat flexible because there's so many factors, as you already said, and you cannot control everything. Talking of coordination, how do you manage coordination within your team?
So within my team, we coordinate mostly through our channels. So I mean, the basics, we use Slack and WhatsApp, and we coordinate with Clear Communication and our START Global group chats as well, where we communicate all the important information. And it's really a great way, if you need to get things done fast, to be able to communicate this way.
That sounds very good. Also, it's a lot of responsibility. I mean, it's organized by students and this conference is huge. So how do you personally deal with the aspect of responsibility and pressure, of course?
I think responsibility, like you said, comes with great pressure. And I think how you deal with that pressure really shows what kind of person you are. I think some people have a harder time dealing with it. For me, it's all about being able to separate your own feelings and emotions from what's going on outside of you. I think I also do yoga. Maybe it comes from that. But what you think about in your head is really in your hand, in your control. And the way you let your external factors influence you is also in your control. So for me, this is a thought I like to come back to whenever I get overwhelmed by something.
Oh, wow. I think I should try to keep that in mind a bit more, because that sounds super wise and it makes absolutely sense to also then handle the pressure a bit better. Now, lastly, do you also plan to take part in the summit with your own startup one day?
Well, my own startup, I mean, I've had a couple of startup ideas. Sadly, they've all been created, I found out later, so. But in the future, I might found a startup, yes. I'm still figuring out what I want to do, if I'll go into corporate or if I stay in the startup world. But in the next years, I think I will figure it out. And of course, one day I would love to be at START Summit with my own project, whether it be a startup or something else.
Thank you very much for taking your time and good luck with the further, START Summit and everything that needs to be coordinated from your side.
Thank you so much, Sila, and I really enjoyed talking to you.
I'm happy to hear that. Now, they stated it in the opening ceremony. START Summits just became 30 years old. That means there's a lot of alumni who organized the committee, who organized the summit in the previous years. And I'm also super excited because one of these alumni, Jonas Eidenschink, is actually here today. And he will also give us a little insight on his perspective of the START Summit. And who knows, maybe he has some interesting stories.
My name is Jonas Eidenschink. I'm 26 years old. I'm the founder of Ascend, which is a media company, essentially. And I did my bachelor's here in the University of St. Gallen, was part of the START team for 2 years. Also part of the board, was leading marketing and communications back then. And now I'm back here at the alma mater, supporting everyone and just seeing what the people are building. So it's great to be here and talk to you.
Wonderful. Could you maybe tell us a bit more about Ascend? So what exactly is it that you're doing?
So we are essentially a marketing agency that's focusing on going to expert influencers, content creators that have a big reach, but they really don't have the expertise on helping people. So we essentially help them build educational products for the audiences on like different platforms to really educate their audience and help them and also make more money because of that. I have a business partner as well in the agency. And it's just two of us who are handling the clients there. And otherwise, we have like a remote team of different people, right, that work on specific tasks that we have. It's really marketing heavy. So it's things like copywriting, it's things like social media, like management, like posting. So a lot of, and in that space and marketing, like email marketing, run campaigns and these kind of things. That's really what we focus on, like distribution and marketing. And that's where a lot of people come to us for.
Now you're at the summit, not in this active role anymore. But if you had described this year's summit in one word, which word would you choose?
I mean, for me, the word I would describe it is homecoming, right? Because that's kind of the, how it feels for me. But just inspirational is the other word that just comes to mind for me.
The first day is already quite advanced. Did you already meet someone who is special to you?
Yeah, for me, the most special people here are, of course, the people that I work with really deeply during my time at Start, because that's the people I spend for 1 year, 10 hours a day with. And these are the people like Samuel Gretz that I organized hackathon with, like Ruben Reuter. These are like some of the people that I met and have conversations with that are the most special to me. And otherwise, a lot of people that you just, of course, have short conversations, but I will see the one in my team back then. These are the most important.
And now thinking back to the conference you organized yourself, what is it that really sticks to your mind? What is it you remember most about this time?
Maybe shouldn't tell it here, but we didn't have the contract with the OMA, so we could actually during the night still finish, right? So they closed at like midnight and we still needed to finish some things from the construction side of things. So we actually, we all needed to leave and it was not done. And the OMA closed because it wasn't a contract that they needed to kick us out overnight. So we could just return at 6 a.m. in the morning to finish it up. So that was really, really stressful times. And I mean, otherwise, for me personally, I interviewed a lot of speakers because I was doing marketing communications in like our podcast kind of room and like really talking to them like one-on-one. For me, it was such a insane experience because to have those conversations with like eye to eye, like with them, being able to ask your personal questions. For me, like there was Neil Reimer and these people who like brought venture capital to Switzerland or to Europe, and like just talking to them for me was like kind of insane experience, to be honest.
Especially from a student's perspective, right? That's also what I really like about the Start Summit. I get to talk to a lot of very inspiring founders and other people who are somewhat involved here, and you always learn something from these conversations. So I agree with you. Now, thinking back, I mean, it was a stressful time, I assume, when you also organized the summit. How did you survive the summit or the whole process behind it? Did you maybe develop some coping strategies when it comes to dealing with pressure?
I mean, for me, honestly, there were like two things. Obviously, we were all insanely caffeinated, right? The amount of like Red Bull we were drinking because we have to supply there, it's just insane. And then for me, in the first year was a bit different, right? The coping mechanisms, because I was 2 years at Start, it was all right. I have my team, but I didn't feel this insane, like I need to push everything through. But in the second year, I had a team of 10 people and I was responsible for them. So I had so high adrenaline and I knew that I need to make it work for them and I need to be the leader. So they actually also do their stuff, because if they see me lead, they will follow the example. So for me, that was like every time in the morning when I waking up, I was thinking about the team. And that kind of was my mechanism of like, hey, I don't want to let them down because then they don't let me down. And then everything works out. And that was kind of my main thing, really.
I mean, now you are working in your own business. What have you potentially taken away from your time at Start to now be successful in your business?
Yeah, I think for me, as I was part of marketing communications, I, of course, learned a lot of things there in terms of strategies, growing also on social media. I also set up the whole payments infrastructure for Start to run ads, like everything you see on socials. I set that up for the first time back then. So these are the most learnings where I could experiment and really get deep into the marketing, of course. That's one aspect of it, like visuals, design, good videos. But on the other hand, is the leadership, of course, right? Like who can say that at like 20, 21, 22, you, for example, have a team of 10 people where you're responsible for them and then you make so many mistakes, you know? You don't know how to communicate with them. You don't know how you're supposed to give feedback. You don't know like all of these things, but you need to learn it and figure it out. And I think that's the most things that I learned in this process.
As said in the opening, Europe needs bold minds. And some of these bold minds are here at Start Summit as well. I managed to catch a few for the podcast and they give us a little insight in what ambitions they follow with their startups and what they may maybe see as the main challenges currently in the startup landscape.
So my name is Chiara. I'm doing my master in business innovation at the university. It's my second semester here, and we're developing Maeva, which briefly said is a lifelong hormonal health companion for women. So globally, around every fifth woman is impacted by a hormonal health condition. So I'm sure you all know more than five women. And statistically, unfortunately, she's most likely not aware of it. Diagnosis time can take up to 10 years. And that's where we're looking to intersect. Maeva tracks your symptoms. It gives you daily protocols, but also tells you if something in your body is off and needs further medical attention. So we do not diagnose, but we help you recognize a symptom that's not normal to a symptom that needs attention.
Okay, and who is behind Maeva except for you?
Yeah, so I have an amazing set of advisors across science, hormonal health, cybersecurity, and also finance. And I'm the CEO and the founder.
Now we're here at the Start Summit, and I ask this to everyone because it interests me. If you had to describe the Start Summit in one word, which word would you pick?
Thrilling. The energy in there is just unbelievable, unmatchable. Everyone is just so excited to be there. And it's really inspiring to also see other startups pitch and talk about their ideas and just how everyone is so passionate about what they're doing.
I agree. And now, people are pitching their startups. What is your principal aim here at the Start Summit with Maeva?
Yeah, so I hope to just get a really few good connections and conversations out of it. I'm looking to meet people who are interested in femtech, especially. I'm not actively raising right now, so I'm just preparing myself. I'm talking to investors to see where the appetite is and then follow up with them later on in the game.
And in which stage or phase is Maeva currently? What is your next ambition and what did you already achieve?
Yeah, so we've launched a website. We have actively daily growing user list of testers. And right now, the MVP, so first prototype, is developed that I am showing here for the very first time. Then the next step will be to onboard the users that are waiting right now on the wait list. And afterwards, actively start fundraising.
Wow, that sounds already very promising, especially if you already have some people that are actually interested. Because, I mean, in the end, that is the key or, yeah, the quintessence of a platform. You said that you study at the University of St. Gallen. My question would be, what role does HiSCAPE potentially play?
Yeah, it has played a great role so far. When I came here in September, I heard about the Entrepreneurial Talent Program. I applied and got accepted and got in, which was like a 3-month accelerator program from the university. So I had weekly coaching sessions. Still now I'm in very close contact with the entrepreneurial team here and was also invited from them specifically to exhibit here Maeva and showcase to potential not only users but also investors.
Looking forward to the next hours and the next day of the summit. Do you have something you especially are excited about? So you have a personal highlight that maybe already took place or will take place?
I think definitely the highlight so far has been to showcase my MVP, the product, the app that I've developed to showcase the idea of what's behind it and get feedback on it so far, because I'm designing a human-centered product that impacts people's life, and seeing people's firsthand reaction has been really awesome. Incredible. We'll also take, you know, insights that I've heard into consideration because we're so early, we are able to adapt. And especially hearing not only women's, I know, feedback, but also men are impacted by this too. So it has been really great.
Broadening our view to the whole startup landscape, what would you, out of your personal perspective also, say is currently the biggest challenge startups are facing?
The biggest challenge is definitely the speed, because everything moves so fast these days with AI and AI agents and, I don't know, everything really that's just moving so fast. So you really have to just stand your ground and maybe sometimes also instead of moving fast, take a step backward, rethink what you're doing before, you know, starting again, and just don't try that. You have to keep up with that speed. It's not a race, it's a marathon.
And I'm sure you're going to be successful in this marathon. Thank you very much for taking your time.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Next on the list is Max Bieri, HiSCAPE alumnus and co-founder of the startup called Safe Space.
I'm Max, 24, a high school Start alumni here at Start Summit today. And what we are building at SafeSpace is Europe's storage layer. We operate an asset layer platform connecting customers, landlords, and self-storage operators, turning unused space into accessible storage supply. That's what we do. We are three co-founders. My CMO, Tamara, she did a Master of Science at ETH. So she's more the nerd from that side. Our CTO, Calvin, was already coding at the age of 12. So he's the tech lead. And myself. So we are three people behind SafeSpace.
So I see we have the business and then also the technology expertise combined, which is a great combination, as we already know. Now I would like you to describe the Start Summit in one word. I mean, it's the beginning, it's Thursday right now, but maybe you already have a description for it.
Coming home. So I was part of Start Summit or Start Fellowship Program even during the past 2.5 years, basically. And after that left 1 year ago. So yeah, approximately for 2 years in Start so far.
I'm sure many memories are coming up then. Going back to SafeSpace, how did you develop the idea for SafeSpace?
So the idea of SafeSpace is coming from my co-founder. Long story short, he was building a first venture within the second COVID crisis, basically. That was an idea of renting out the apartment spaces of pilots and other expats that are traveling around the world on Airbnb and taking over like the Airbnb management, basically. Didn't work out because it was COVID, so no one was traveling anymore. He had 100 square meters of empty space, and that's how he then developed by co-accident, basically, the self-storage idea, because he got to know like the concept in Boston while studying over there. So that's why then by coincident in 2023, he co-founded SafeSpace. And from that point onwards, Tamara and me, we joined on the way. Exactly.
So sometimes if a door closes, another door opens, right? I think this symbolizes it very well. And now in which phase is SafeSpace at the moment? So which stage are you currently focusing on?
We raised a seed equity financing round. So we are between seed and Series A. I'm currently rolling out our first international expansion, just launched in Switzerland. Some weeks ago, built first in Germany our foundation, let's call it like that. So we are a seed stage company.
Wow. So maybe some of our listeners already heard of you or will hear of you in the near future. That sounds super interesting. And now what is your aim here at Start?
Meeting great people from high scale like you, for instance, and other investors, talents, and especially just co-workers that I met along the way in the past 5-6 years while being around the startup scene. As said, it's just coming home.
I mean, it is coming home for you, but still, how did you get to exhibit here with SafeSpace?
To be honest, it was just like as a Start alumni, you still help a lot, like the Start current active members, right? And so you just stay in touch, basically. And that's how we get back. And they just invited us over for some sessions, whatever. And that's why we're here.
I mean, we mentioned HSG and Start now a few times, but overall, you studied at the University of St. Gallen. What role did this university play for you becoming a part of a startup?
I think it's inspiration through networks, through a lot of encounters with a lot of great people, coming from consulting down to being a lawyer, down to being an entrepreneur, whatever. But they have one thing, and that's really like pushing and being ambitious to a certain level or even exceeding that. And second is probably as well talent acquisition. So like what we find at HSG is like some sort of driven people that are super team players or great team players, basically. And that helps us to just accelerate our growth further as well.
A lot of innovation and inspiration at one place, right? Now, I'm looking forward to the 2 days of the summit. What is going to be your highlight or what are you most excited about?
To be honest, it's the 30th year of anniversary of Start Summit. So tonight we have like alumni dinner with a lot of people. And I guess that's my highlight of meeting a lot of old people or new people. And yeah. Just having friendship relations that grow.
Maybe also from a more challenging perspective, when we look at the startup landscape as a whole, what do you think is currently the biggest challenge for most founders?
I think at the end, it's, I mean, a lot of people will tell you capital or talent acquisition, whatever. I think at the end, it's just being yourself, being brutal, honest to yourself, and just being resilient on that way. I think that's the biggest challenge is being yourself on that journey and always staying to your values that you have.
I couldn't put it better. Thank you very much, Max, for taking your time and also showing us a little bit what you're going to do here at the summit. And good luck for the next 2 days.
Thank you really much.
Now I'm talking to Saskia Teufel from 8PM Social. Could you please introduce yourself quickly and then also what your startup is standing for?
Yes, of course. So hi, I'm Saskia. Nice to be here. Yeah, I'm originally from Germany. And like in the last years, had a lot of stuff going on. I studied, and while that, I worked in different companies, 3 different startups, and also built and rebuilt 4 different initiatives. So a lot going on. Yeah, now we're building 8 p.m. social. Like, you are the first ones that hear from that officially now, so keep it confidential. 8 p.m. social is supposed to be an antidote to the actual social networks. Like, it's a social network where just real people are on, like no AI spam, no ad spam also. Just you and your friends again, like creating one moment at 8 p.m. every day. So you can collect your memories through the day, but just in the evening at 8, everything comes online. And then, yeah, you can have a look what your friends did, but afterwards also put your phone away again and focus on your real life. And yeah, we're building that. And as I said, we're really early now, but starting to launch our waitlist next week. So yeah.
That sounds like a very interesting state you're currently in. Why did you come up with this idea initially?
In the beginning, people downloaded social media because they wanted to see their friends and interact with their friends. But I don't know, where is this now? Like, at the moment, it's more like personalized TV. You get entertained very good at these platforms, but the friends layer is not there anymore. So we wanted to bring that back, and also in combination with, we know that it's not good for young people, for people in general, like to scroll that much. So we thought like we need a better solution on that.
Wonderful. I really see that pain point as well. So super interesting what you're working on. Now, who is behind 8 p.m. Social? You mentioned that your co-founder has a relation to the University of St. Gallen.
Yes. So we are four people behind 8 p.m. Social at the moment. So we have three co-founders, Toby, who is like the tech guy. He's doing everything around the app. Then we have Paul, who studied here in St. Gallen. He has a strong background in Gen Z, marketing, recruiting. So yes, bringing that perspective in and working a lot on the product, but also on company partnerships. And then that's me. So I already introduced myself. I'm working a lot on the operational process, like legal, finance, recruiting, and also like community and event building, because community is a huge part for us, not just to build an app, but to really build a loyal community around young people and also connected with offline events. So that's also part I'm working on. And then we have our first hire, Laura. She's coming from a content background and she's really great in marketing. So she does everything around the marketing stuff.
I see that you already have the skill set combined here. That is wonderful. Talking about Start Summit, I mean, we're currently on the summit. Maybe you can hear it in the background. How would you describe Start Summit in one word? Which word would you choose?
So I think this year, packed, because I can just be here today. So the whole day is very packed. But normally I probably would say nostalgic a little bit, because Start Summit was my first startup event ever. So always when I come back, I have like this little nostalgic feeling and I love it.
Overall for the Start Summit, is there still like a highlight you're looking forward to? Do you have something specific that you're most excited about?
Oh, I have to say like the speakers are so great this year. So props to the team. I really love the setup. I saw many people on the speaker side. I was like, I need to listen to them. So I hope I get to listen to some of them.
Yeah, I agree. Me too. Thank you very much for taking your time and have a great further summit day here.
Thank you.
The next guest is the co-founder of a startup many HSG students will already know. And I'm super excited to talk to Ralf Forsbach from Brian, as I used the app myself during my studies.
Great. Thank you. It's great to be here as an alumni. I love it to be back. So Brian is an adaptive learning tool. Basically, where students have an individualized support to basically reach any learning goal the teacher sets out. So it's a tool for teachers and students. And a teacher at the University of St. Gallen, it's the professors who basically create content and their own learning app, learning environment, which then helps the students to reach the goals set out by the teacher. That's basically what we do. We do this at secondary school level up to tertiary university level.
That is super nice. And I mean, at the University of St. Gallen, we could already directly use your tool. And it's really helpful to have a different channel of getting to know the different subjects and what you have to study for the exam. Before we get further into what Brian's vision maybe also is, could you summarize Start Summit in one word?
Buzzing. If I have really one word, buzzing, because it's dark. You don't know if it's day or night. So many people buzzing around. It's draining. in one hand side, but on the other hand side, it's really energizing because it's just really a lot of good people here.
I mean, you already briefly mentioned what Brian is doing and what also your ambitions are, but who apart from you is behind Brian, who makes out the team, maybe also the founding team, and what is your overall vision you really want to pursue here?
So we're now a team of 8 people, and without them, I would be really also nothing. The founding team are 3 people. We have a tech founder. His name is Eric. He's basically the mastermind on the tech side, who basically builds all the software and the AI in the background. Then we have a sales guy. He does the majority of the sales, basically. And then it's me on the business side. And our vision is to empower every student on the planet to be basically the best student they can be. So we really want to leverage every human being out there to reach their most potential.
That sounds very good. I mean, being a student, I like this vision. I hope that it reaches as many students as somewhat possible. When was Brian founded and out of which situation? How did that idea develop initially?
So the idea really pivoted back and forth. I mean, and the focus were always the students from day one. And it started at the University of St. Gallen when we actually had one lecturer. It was Thomas Bieger, the former rector, who said he wants to have a really cool learning environment for their students in his course. And we basically manually built the entire course, manually without AI, crafted all the questions. And then we had 1,500 students in the first year using it. Basically 96% of all students writing the exam were using Brian. And they answered on the quiz tool. We only had quizzes back then, 3.6 million questions. And they, on average, was, I think, roughly 1,800 questions answered per student. It was a massive success. But from there, we evolved. AI came 2022. We founded late 2021. 2022, 3.5 came out from GPT, and we started leveraging AI to enhance the content creation. Later along the roadmap, we leveraged more AI for the students to individualize support student in a Socratic, pedagogically correct way. So the idea of the self-organized learning and supporting every student as much as we can evolved through the new potential with AI and technology in general. So the idea of Brian evolved, and I think is still evolving. And I think that's very, very important as a startup.
If we have an outlook for the next 5 or 10 years, where do you see Brian?
You really see Brian as a tool to have teachers and students work more closely together, right? It's not just about generating content. Generative AI is a hype, and it's a massive potential to just generate content. And don't get me wrong, I don't think AI is on hype. I think AI is still very understated. But the potential of AI is not just to generate content, because by now it's so easy to generate content. But what happens with the content, what content is being understood and not understood, and then adapting on that knowledge for the student individually, but also playing that information back to the teacher is crucial, right? So here AI empowers us to actually work closer with the student together and not just generate even more material. It's not about more material. And it's about having the best tailored material and knowing the student to do so, right? And I think that's where we're heading to. And there's so much more potential we can leverage.
And now, speaking of potential, what is your personal or also as a team biggest challenge at the moment you're facing and trying to get over?
That's a great question. It's actually changing rapidly from month to month, quarter to quarter. But I think that's a very good thing. We so far were mainly focused on the product to really have a great experience, to have as little churn as possible, to have a lot of referrals. But now we realize that the product, we say product market fit, is the moment when you cannot ship fast enough. That's the moment when you reach product market fit. And we are getting there. We are almost not able to ship to onboard schools fast enough. So now we're actually really shifting in towards scalability, growth phase. And that is a completely different challenge. Processes need to be in place. We need to automate ourselves to be able to handle such big requests. And at the same time, we need to scale even more in terms of inbound. How much more inbound can we generate? But at the same time, we need to also work and onboard all the clients and make sure they're happy. So that's currently our main challenge.
Okay, I see. But on the other hand, that also makes it more interesting, right? And it's always a new challenge that's developing, which is great about a startup. Is that also your ambition, why you're currently here at the Start Summit?
So first of all, St. Gallen is our home market. We have the Canton of Zurich, for example, which has a cantonal license already. That's our first cantonal license, which is a massive improvement and achievement for us. But we are kind of sad that the Canton of St. Gallen has no cantonal license yet. And that's one of our goals here, to really show them, because we have a lot of good use cases in the Canton of St. Gallen already, but we're not being purchased on the cantonal level. That's goal number one. And goal number two is that we basically find someone who helps us hacking growth even more, right? As I said, optimizing the processes, optimizing the flywheel to get more clients and onboard more teachers at the same time.
Okay. And you said that St. Gallen somewhat is your hometown. You studied at the University of St. Gallen. In what ways did your studies at the HSG equip you for successful entrepreneurship?
That's a great question. I really have to say, it really equipped me. It's not a joke. I really mean it. It's less the content I've learned. It's more the way how to work. Because especially in the bachelor's assessment, I did assessment bachelor's and master's. I did a double degree with friends, I should say Paris, at the same time. But what I got in St. Gallen was project management. And I think in the age of AI, what we need the most is communication skills, understanding the person in front of you or your persona or your ideal customer profile. You need to understand who you're selling to. You need to be empathetic to really leverage that and support and then build a product accordingly, right? And the University of St. Gallen is this holistic approach of education and not just learning content, not just learning a craft like tech. It's much bigger. It's much more understanding as a surrounding, the environment, the business context. And I think in the age of AI, it's the most human skills which matter the most. And I think that's really something we learn at the University of St. Gallen.
Being a student at the University of St. Gallen, I fully agree with you. And I think this human element is going to be even more central in the future. So it's a great message that you're spreading. Now, last but not least, looking at the whole Start Summit, what are you looking forward to the most? Do you have something that is striking for you?
It's basically meeting people from back in the days. I mean, it's really, really cool to see meet so many alumni, to meet so many other startups we know, startup coaches, the ecosystem, and having a startup or building a startup and everyone who works at a startup. It's such a pain, to be honest, and it's very rewarding, but it's mainly a pain. And you live for a vision, and it's great to share this with others. And this really is motivating
to be in this inspiring atmosphere. I absolutely agree. Thank you very much, Ralph, for taking your time and talking to us. And best of luck with Brian. To the listeners, maybe you will use Brian again, or hopefully even. And then we will directly see and experience how it's developing in the future. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much as well.
Now I'm talking to Carmel Imho from Zone In. But Carmel, please introduce yourself and your startup briefly as well.
I'm Carmel, the founder of Zone In, and we help people find the right psychologist sooner and more easily.
And in a bit more detail, how do you help people to find the right psychologist?
You probably heard about the long waiting times that we have, like for psychotherapy and also for diagnosis. And at the same time, therapists face fluctuating workloads. So sometimes they're overscheduled and other times they struggle to fill available appointments. So the capacity utilization is actually not optimized. And then therapists need to work together with doctors for certain issues, but like this coordination, collaboration is currently very difficult. And at Zone In, we address those topics. And our first solution is a specialized matching system that connects patients and psychologists in a new way that can optimize this capacity utilization of the therapist. And our second solution is the Expert Collaboration Hub, and this is designed to streamline the coordination between therapists and doctors.
So does that mean, for example, the therapists, they have to sign up themselves, or how do you bring the people together?
Yes, a good question. So actually, I can talk about the matching system that we have, and it is special because on our platform, not only the therapists get a profile, but also the patients. So patients can choose therapists, but therapists can also choose patients. So we have like a two-sided matching system. And as you said, right, the therapists get profiles, and they can also, like whenever they have a free available appointment, they can access an official waiting list of patients and then choose a patient that best fit like their expertise and availability. And with this, we optimize the capacity utilization. And here I have to say, like for the profiles of the patients, of course, this is all anonymous. Only if the patient and the therapist decide to work together, the data is going to be shared. And what we solve also with this like two-sided matching system and the optimized capacity utilization is that the patients then have less waiting time and also like a personalized match, so they can find someone who really fits their needs, right? What we also integrate is like a system that helps a patient to reimburse the therapy, like that the insurance can pay for it, right? So we simplified this whole process because this is also a little bit complex, I would say.
I can imagine. So it's really this holistic approach that you're following. That sounds super interesting. And now you already mentioned you're the founder of Sewn In, but who is behind Sewn In? So who are maybe other people that participate or are part of it?
So my co-founder is Renato Rao, and he's in the technical side, so he's actually building everything. And we are a pretty good match because we complement each other very good. It took 1 year actually to find the right co-founder, you know, someone who really believes in the vision first, and then also like the co-founder needs to be ready to work on the startup for a long time, like without the salary actually. And yeah, it was a challenge, took a long time, but right now we're together. So we're two co-founders, but we have one software developer that we have as a freelancer, and one UI UX designer who is also very passionate about the project.
And what is the current stage of Sewn In? So in which phase are you currently?
We are currently briefly before the launch. So we will launch our matching system in around 2 months. First, we will go live with like a family and friends launch, and then like real. And when I say real, I mean like setting up the marketing that is, and it's also then possible to book the appointment that the matching is set up and everything. Then with the expert collaboration hub, we also want to launch this year, but more like at the end of the year. And then for 2027, we have an additional plan. Like, yeah, we want to integrate also a health insurance billing system so that the therapist can have everything in one place, you know, like the reimbursement with insurance. This is a little bit their wish because they want to manage. Yeah, it's more simple if you don't need like 10 tools to manage that at the practice.
Sounds like a very good plan, and you're already quite ambitious, but that means it's a very interesting phase right now. Now you're here at Start Summit. Before I would like to go into the whole Start Summit topic, could you introduce or could you choose one word to describe the Start Summit?
Inspiring, because you can kind of see what is possible. You see very like successful founders, you see successful startups. And then on the other hand, you have like a lot of people together that can bring you forward. So you can like connect with other founders in the health tech area. You have potential investors, you have people in the same industry, and you can get feedback, you can learn. And at the end, they all can bring you somehow further.
What is your main aim here being at the Start Summit?
I would say beside like learning and networking, it's also very cool that we can show our startup at the Heuske booth and yeah, then just tell people why it matters and why we're doing it. And I think it's a great place to show some presence.
So now you mentioned that you can exhibit your startup at the Heuske booth. How did that come? So
Why are you there? So we are actually quite well connected with the HISG. So first we have been like in the ETP, and there we had the possibility to have a coach, and to you get like startup relevant courses. You can connect with other founders. And so that was the first thing I could do. And that was also like, you know, at the very beginning, it was more just a problem that I recognized, and I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do. And already at the beginning, the startup at HISG was very open to talk to me, to say, okay, let's do a pitch deck and yeah, and challenge some first ideas. And that was very great. And then I also felt like a strong growth then for the startup when I was at the ETP. And now we're actually at the ECP, which is another program that supports founders for 1 year financially, which is very great. So that's why like Renato and I have the possibility to fully 100% focus on the startup. And we also get mentoring, and we get support if we want to, you know, when we want to have an introduction to someone. Yeah, all what is about the networking, we also get a lot of help, which is great.
Just to clarify, who is behind this ECT? It's actually also the startup at HISG and the entrepreneurial institution itself. So yeah, they all set it up. Also in collaboration, I think, with HISG Accelerator.
So you're really strongly connected to the University of St. Gallen. But I mean, also your ambition is fantastic. So I'm very happy that it is supported. Now, going back to the START Summit, what are you looking forward to the most? Do you have something that's going to be possibly your personal highlight?
I'm very excited about the selection of the founder of the year. I think like actually never was there. So yeah, it's also inspiring to see how far you can go when you're really like stay focused and work on it. And yeah, I'm excited about that tomorrow. But of course, also, yeah, to show Sonin, and I love to talk about it. So I'm happy at this booth just to, yeah, introduce everyone to what we are doing.
And it's a good sign that you like to talk about your own startup, because if you wouldn't, then maybe there is some problems with the idea. But I'm sure this is not the case for Sonin. Overall, if we look at the startup landscape, what would you say is the biggest challenge so far? Maybe you talk to other founders, or you experienced this challenge yourself in your daily life.
Yeah, so I mentioned it before, like is really like finding the right team, which took me 1 year. So for example, I had like one moment where I was like, well, I don't know if it's even possible. I remember that was like, yeah, a little bit more than a year ago. And I was like at two events to like, you can there like pitch your case, and then you get like applications for co-founders. And then I actually got some. I got 10. I was very happy at first. And then like everyone wanted to have a salary, you know? Yeah, I thought to myself, is it even like, yeah, possible to find someone who is ready to work on this for a longer time? Yeah, and then out of a coincidence, basically, we met each other, which is great. So that was at the beginning. And right now, the challenge is more about the product development is complex, so different topics come together all the times, like from data protection, regulatory requirements, sometimes also feedback from the psychologist or just technical bugs. And then, yeah, you kind of got to find the right balance between speed and quality. Yeah, sometimes in the startup world, you say like, go live as fast as possible with an MVP. But then at the same time, like the very fundamental functions need to work properly. So yeah, it's like a balance you have to find here.
But then it also means you learn a lot, and you also acquire many new skills. I mean, you have your master's from the University of St. Gallen, but I'm sure now working full time for Sonin has developed your skill set even further. Thank you very much, Carmel, for taking your time and talking to us, and have a great summit.
Thank you, Sierra, for having me. It was great.
I know that's been an incredible number of impressions and voices, one after the other, but I hope you've managed to take away a thing or two. This cross-section of founders shows just how vast the diversity really is and how much drive and motivation comes together here at Start Summit. It's truly inspiring to hear all these stories and visions, and I hope I've managed to give you a good sense of what it's like to be at Start Summit. After this episode, I'm even more tempted to perhaps start something myself one day. And who knows, maybe some of you listening feel the same way. In any case, I hope you enjoyed this special episode. Thank you for listening, and hear you next time on the HSG Student Podcast.